that end, I really applaud the many, many, many folks who joined this conversation looking for a good outcome. So, salute to us all.
Thank you, Jen. Daryl?
Daryl Paulson with Ramsey Signs. It's good to see that through all the political posturing and everything that happened over the last several weeks that we were able to reach an agreement that would work not only for the university but for the citizens of Portland as well. And we're glad to get this resolved and start moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you again. Thank you both again very much. And
thank you.
And it shouldn't be lost on anybody why we asked Stephen Yang and you know, Campbell to stay, because it really, the design that is there now was created by Bill Nato, and the Old Town designation was invented by Bill Nato. And it's really, as Jan said earlier, serendipitous that Ann Nato Campbell is here to see what I actually believe will be the last incarnation of this sign forevermore and will forever.
We got a thumbs up. Mr. Leonard, can I just speak to that for
please.
A moment? Because I'm just glad to get my computer server back today because we have received quite a few emails. But there was no email that was more thoughtful that I received than Ann Nato Campbell's email, in which she made a very powerful plea to retain the Old Town designation on the sign to honor the history of the sign and the location. And I know reasonable people are going to have different views on this, but I'm particularly pleased that the Old Town Portland designation remains on the bottom. And I... sometimes politics is like sausage making, and it's not always neat, but it is gratifying when a process ends with a result like this. So I want to echo what the Commissioner Leonard said, and thank you both for your work, because we would not be here today without your good faith at the table.
Well, as a member of the Old Town Chinatown neighborhood, I would like to say that the Old Town designation remaining on the sign was very important to us as well. And I know that Commissioner Leonard and I were both pleased to see that piece of agreement get resolved.
So who owns the sign?
The University of Oregon will proceed with buying the sign.
Okay, so we no longer need this resolution to condemn at all.
When we conclude our remarks, I will make that clear.
Yeah, Commissioner Leonard, at his request, has requested of us to send it back to his office. And unless there are objections, that's exactly what we'll do.
Thank you.
All good.
Thank you.
You
very much.
Thank you very much for the process and for coming to an agreement. And I want to clarify that the new lettering will go to the Historic Landmarks Commission for review, so that, correct?
Where were that?
So that the public will have an opportunity to comment again. And I agree that the public involvement on this was very helpful and very much appreciated.
Well, I want to, before you leave, I want to thank Commissioner Leonard and Jan and the good folks at the sign company for their forbearance on this issue. One thing that I especially like about it is that it's a great icon. This is a great icon for all of Oregon, and I think it restates our commitment to be part of one Oregon. And for... that's one reason that I think that the specific design that you've come up with is just, you know, so incredibly positive and powerful. So I really want to thank, again, Jan, Sign Company, and Commissioner Leonard. This item returns to Commissioner Leonard's office. All right, that gets us to the regular agenda item. Carla, would you please read the title for Council Calendar Item 377?
Establish the duties and responsibilities of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and amend code to reflect Bureau title.
One more. Good morning, Ms. Ames. Welcome to the City Council.
Thank you.
What should we know about item 377?
I'm Betsy Ames with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. This ordinance amends city code to established the duties of the newly merged Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. Back in January, you directed us to come back with code changes to formalize the new Bureau and City Code, and that's what this ordinance does.
All right. Is there any discussion or questions from the City Council? Is there anyone in, thank you, Ms. Ames, is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify on Council Calendar Item 377? Hearing none, seeing none, this moves to a second reading. Could you please read the item back on, could you please read the item for Council Calendar 368?
Adopt City of Portland Investment Policy.
Mr. Rust, could you please give us an overview of why we're adopting this and what's the substance of the investment policy?
Certainly. Good morning, Mayor and members of the Council. For the record, I'm Ken Rust, the Director of the Office of Management and Finance. The resolution before you today would have you adopt the City's amended investment policy. And just for a little bit of background, the City annually prepares an investment policy pursuant to state statute, as do all local governments. It outlines the kinds of instruments that we are allowed to invest our public funds in. Those instruments are largely dictated by state statute. Our policy tends to be more conservative than what's allowed under state statute. And it also is reviewed by our Investment Advisory Committee before it's submitted to the Council for approval. And it's also reviewed by the Oregon State Short-Term Fund Board, which has a responsibility for reviewing the investment policies of local governments in the state of Oregon. This particular resolution in front of you this morning amends our existing policy to include a new class of investments that we would be allowed to purchase for with our public funds. The State Treasurer's Office has told local governments that they do not need to bring back for their review an investment policy that incorporates this new investment option. And basically what it is that in response to the credit crisis late last year, the federal government has offered insurance or guarantee of corporate obligations issued by corporations in the United States that would be backed either by the FDIC or some other type of federal guarantee of the interest and principal payments when due, basically making it an obligation, if you will, of the U.S. government. And so, therefore, creating a very secure form of investment for governments like the City of Portland. And so what this particular resolution does is adds that particular investment option into our investment policy. And it's been reviewed by our Investment Advisory Committee. They recommend that we add that investment option to our policy. And that's the substantive amendment that's part of the policy in front of you this morning.
Council discussion.
So is it all corporations that issue debt? Or are there some subset of corporations that get guaranteed?
I believe it's U.S. financial institutions that are subject to the particular authorization of the federal government that have this guarantee. And the guarantee extends through obligations that they issue now through, I think, January of 2012. So it's sort of a limited window. It was a recognition that for some of these corporations, they were having a very difficult time accessing the credit markets to do short-term borrowing that funds their operations, and that was a very big problem for those corporations and therefore the U.S. economy. And by having a guarantee of the federal government behind them, that really unstuck that frozen part of the credit market for them and also provides a sound investment choice for governments and other purchasers of those instruments like the City of Portland.
Any other discussion from Council? Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify on Council Item 368? Carl, will you please call the roll on item 368?
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
I'm still looking at council agenda items with the eyes of a fresh person who 3 months ago was a layperson in Citizens and looked at this item and thought, wow, that sounds very important and very interesting. So I really appreciate the concise overview that you just gave us as to what this is. It's an amendment to our policy that we have, an investment advisory committee. And I'll be looking forward to even more information about what our city does with our investments. And but I'm very comfortable that this is a government-backed security that sounds like a good policy. Thank you. Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Item 368 is approved. Carla, would you please read the title for Council Item 378?
Authorized contract with PB Americas, Inc. for $125,000 to develop a concept plan for Bonnie Slope West Area 90 Metro Urban Expansion Area 93 and provide for payment.
Commissioner Fritz.
This item was going to be considered earlier, and again, it was one that raised issues for me as far as why we were spending this amount of money, whose money it is that we're spending, where we're spending it, why we're spending it. So Deborah Stein is here to tell us more about that.
Thank you. Good morning. I am Deborah Stein with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and I want to just give you a brief overview of this item to explain it a little bit more. And with me today, Brian Sheehan, the West District Liaison, who has been serving as the project manager on the city side for this project. And then I'm also very pleased that Karen Schilling, Planning Director from Multnomah County, is here as well. And I really appreciate her taking the time to join us because I think that they might be able to answer any questions I'm not able to answer. So the item before you today is to authorize a contract with PB Americas to prepare a concept plan for Bonnie Slope West. And this authorization of the contract is the next step in a path we laid out through an intergovernmental agreement that was approved by City Council last year. So this is the next anticipated step, is to move forward with this concept plan. So let me give you just a little bit of context just to explain this a bit. Bonnie Slope West is an area, it's about 120 acres, unincorporated in Multnomah County. The area is situated 3/4 of a mile west of the City of Portland's urban service boundary. I do have a map if that's helpful for you in setting the context.
The map you can put on the screen?
Like to see? No, we have it on a
that's
easel.
That's all right.
Okay.
All right. But essentially, it's the other side of Forest Park, and it's not adjacent to the City of Portland.
Correct. And the area borders unincorporated Washington County to the west of the south. The area is neither contiguous with Portland's existing city limits, nor is it contiguous with our urban service boundary. And I know that's where some of these questions come up about why is the city pursuing preparing a concept plan. But let me explain. Back in 2002, Metro amended its urban growth boundary to include this area. And Metro's Urban Growth Management Functional Plan requires that any newly added areas to the urban service or to the urban growth boundary are required to have concept plans to show how they would be urbanized. And those plans are required to be adopted by the governing jurisdiction. In this case, it's Multnomah County. Multnomah County has been assigned the responsibility to prepare the concept plan, but because they recognize they have neither the expertise or the capacity to do urban planning, they look to the City of Portland to work with the county through a consulting arrangement so that we would use our own expertise to prepare this plan. But basically, we're a consultant to the county to do this, and that's what was laid out in the intergovernmental agreement that was approved last year. And furthermore, I want to stress that it's actually contrary to Multnomah County policy to be engaged in urban services planning or delivery. So it made sense through a number of negotiations a while ago that the county would contract with the city to do that plan. So as I say, that arrangement was formalized in an IGA that was approved last year. That IGA was approved both by City Council and by the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners. And that agreement spells out all the expectations of roles and responsibilities between city and county, how we would be working with a consultant to prepare the plan, what the schedule would be, and so forth. So that had a number of specifics and logistics and expectations all laid out. So what's before you today is, again, just the next step in moving forward on that. There are a couple reasons why it's actually in the City of Portland's interest to be engaged with Multnomah County on this project. Even though it's not within our jurisdiction today, we have an interest in seeing what happens on our boundaries. I think that we have particular interest in ensuring that any future urbanization of this area is designed in a way that respects the watershed characteristics, the topography, the terrain. There are a number of physical characteristics that impact directly and indirectly our own resources. So we have an interest in making sure that planning is done well. There's a critical wildlife habitat corridor linking Forest Park with significant natural areas to the west, north, and south. So I think we have an interest in seeing what happens there. And additionally, this is part of a larger area in the Northwest Hills, that part of which is an urban reserve candidate under discussion today. So again, we have an interest in seeing what happens in the bigger picture on that edge of our city. We also see that doing a concept plan for this urbanization offers an opportunity to do something kind of innovative and sustainable. We specifically looked at the PB America's proposal as an exciting possibility or opportunity to do a model of a different kind of urbanization planning that hasn't been done before. So we see that as an exciting opportunity, linking stormwater management, green building, energy, solar energy, and so forth into this concept plan. And finally, the agreement and the arrangement that we have with Multnomah County is respecting a long-standing and very cooperative relationship we've had with the county dealing with urban and rural issues. So we see this as just an extension of a relationship that's worked very well in the past, and we look forward to continuing that in the future. So the contract we're asking you to authorize today, it'll deliver a concept plan that will comply with Metro's requirements, and that includes a roadmap through what are some very complicated issues of governance and service provision, which have to be worked out prior to any actual development or even prior to any annexation of this area. There are a number of questions that are logistic and fiscal that have to be worked out, and this contract will help us answer those questions and navigate through that complicated maze. And so we'll be developing preliminary cost estimates and some funding strategies and likely financing approaches through this contract. We may need to follow up with some additional technical study after this, but this will at least get us on the road to figuring out some of those complications. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Discussion from council.
May I just make two more points? Mm-hmm. First, the money for this is from Metro, and it's from a construction excise tax that Metro put in place specifically to fund this kind of thing.
That's correct.
So in terms of what are we using taxpayers' money for, that money comes from. And second of all, Mayor Adams and I are going to be going to the Metro Policy Advisory Committee tonight, and that we serve as the representatives on that committee. So I wanted to start getting the council, and Mayor Adams, too, wanted to get the council starting to think about this issue of urban reserves and expansion. And what can we do within the urban growth boundary? What are some of the challenges at the edges? And this is certainly an
edge
area that was brought in before. But then when we look at how much is it going to cost to develop this area, how much is it going to cost to provide urban services, there are significant challenges. So although I've heard from one of the property owners at least, and that there are others who are concerned that this is taking too long and that they were unhappy with the existing conditions report, I think this is an important second step to make sure that we do fulfill our obligations under the statewide planning laws to Metro, and also to demonstrate our partnership with Multnomah County, that we are appreciative of collaborating on these services. It is somewhat of a challenge for the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability with the current funding crisis. It will take staff time, which is not entirely paid for by the contract, and so I wanted to highlight that too.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that.
Any other discussion?
And this area is already an urban reserve. Is that correct?
It's inside the urban growth boundary.
Okay.
Even though it's not contiguous.
Okay, so it's not a reserve.
But it's not contiguous.
It's in the boundary.
It's an oddball in that it's not contiguous. Yes.
Thanks.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak to Council Calendar Item 378? Please come forward. Thank you for your presentation. Good morning. Welcome to the City Council.
Well, thank you very much.
You simply have to give us your first and last name, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mayor, members of the Council, my name is Diana Godwin. I'm an attorney here in Portland. I'm here today to represent the largest landowner in Area 93. That's Jim Crawford. He owns the largest plot of empty land. He's asked me to present some concerns today to the Council. We appreciate that there are compelling reasons to go forward with the second part of the planning process. And I can tell you that I worked with Metro back in December 2001, to bring this area into the UGB, and have worked consistently with Metro and Multnomah County, which has radically improved. And also I was a member of the Construction Excise Task Force that imposed the construction excise tax so that we could provide money to go forward with planning in this area. We've tried to be very constructive, but I got to tell you that when we saw this existing conditions report and realized the potential financial impact on the landowners in this area, particularly my client, we thought that going forward with this process could result in just huge losses of value to these people, particularly when we look at the systems development charges that are being proposed in areas almost next door, which is the North Bethany area, where Econ Northwest, who was a consultant on this existing conditions report, projected $100,000 per lot for systems development charges. And if that's going to be the case in this small area, particularly where they're saying under existing conditions there's very little buildable land, we're very concerned about the robbing of value. We're also concerned that the existing conditions report did not take into effect what had happened in this area, which was all of these small landowners, the ones who have 0.8 acres, 2.1 acres, plus my client, had all come together. They had all signed purchase agreements with one large developer. All of the land, including that land with small houses on it, was all conglomerated into one big parcel so that we could have economic development, sustainable, responsible green development with the developer going forward. We're stubbed out right to the Clean Water Service's sewer system, stubbed out right to the edge of the property. But because of tremendous delays, both, you know, lack of money for planning, Multnomah County not being able to, we had challenges in figuring out how to go forward with concept planning. As a result, and then this city council last year delayed approving the intergovernmental agreement by weeks and weeks, which caused the developer to walk away from that. So now all the landowners are right back where we were. So we've had some huge concerns with how this has gone forward. And we just think that if it goes forward under this kind of existing conditions report, it'll just result in a huge losses of value to the people who live there. So, you know, it's a tough position. And I think I'm out of time, and I think I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Anybody else wishes to testify? All right. This is an emergency, so Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you for coming to testify, and I appreciate your concerns. I personally think that this contract is a way to continue the discussion and to continue moving forward, and I'm not sure what the alternative would be. Also, I want to recognize Mayor Adams. It's so delightful to have a mayor who's invested in planning and willing to let me help participate in figuring out some of these on-the-ground issues that matter so much, both in this particular area and in the big picture of how we grow and develop in the Portland metro area. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for her passion for planning as well, and it's a big task, so it's nice to have your interest and active involvement. Aye. 378 is approved. Could you please read the council calendar title for 379?
Authorize acquisition of vehicles for use by city bureaus at $91,605.
So this is the procurement of 8 vehicles, 1 utility scooter for watering downtown flowers that we hope will be electric, a riding lawnmower to mow the steep hillside that was recently cleared at Mount Tabor. The federal government recently said that transporting children with 15 passenger vans is problematic, so we're procuring a 14 passenger van at the advice of City Council. We have a lease on a one minivan for undercover purposes, a lease on a pickup truck for recruitment within the Northwest that has a covered payload so that they can transport materials around the Pacific Northwest in the police recruitment efforts, 2 pickup trucks for undercover use. They need to trade them out on a regular basis so people don't get used to them. And an ATV to provide for the kind of moving and mobility at the gun range that's necessary. How'd I do?
You did great.
Okay. Is there any questions from the City Council that we pay close attention to these items?
I just a comment. As the Parks Commissioner, we're grateful for the funding for the utility scooter, the lawnmower, and the 14-passenger van, which amounts to $45,500 of the vehicle purchase. So thank you.
You're welcome. Anything you'd like to add?
No, I think you covered it.
All right. This is an emergency, so we can follow up quickly on the prices that you have very skillfully negotiated for us.
And then just one note, we'll be back next week with a patrol car purchase as well. We intended to file them together, but somehow we didn't.
Is it, unless there's discussion on council, is there anyone in the room that would like to testify on 379? Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish?
I also want to use this opportunity to acknowledge that yesterday there was an electric car made of some kind of plastic that was in front of City Hall. And when I guess I missed the press conference, or the mayor rode in it and all the dignitaries were on it. I came out and there was a guy from Northwest National.
And he carjacked it.
There's a guy from Northwest National. I said, "Do you mind if I get in?" And he kind of was a little uncomfortable, but he let me in. And I was starting to, and then I realized that he had no idea who I was. And I was getting in his car and he was a little put out by it. So I.
A friendly fellow.
We'll work on that for next time.
I don't have. but I it was. You know, the price was, I think the price was a little higher than I thought, although I think with mass production it's going to come down dramatically. But, you know, I wanted to say to the mayor, I know he's working hard to bring the manufacturing of green cars to Portland, particularly to Swan Island. And when you see these new vehicles, and I think this one gets 118 miles, you know, per charge or something, I mean, it really is extraordinary. So. Here's hoping that we become the green car manufacturing capital of the world. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you for your diligence. Aye.
Adams?
Thanks for your encouragement. I appreciate that, Commissioner Fish. Aye, and thanks for your good work. 379 is approved. Could you please read the title for Council Calendar Item 380?
Accept bid of John L. Jersey and Son, Inc., for the Oak Bee Basin Sewer Relief and Reconstruction Project for $6,377,221.
Good morning, Mr. Baer. How are you?
Good, thank you. Good morning, Mayor Adams, members of City Council. I'm Jeff Baer with the Bureau of Purchases. And before you is a request to execute a contract for the Bureau of Environmental Services project, the Oak Bee Basin Sewer Relief Project. We've opened bids. We received eight of those. John L. Jersey and Sons, which is a local Portland-based contractor, submitted the lowest responsive responsible bid in the amount of $6,377,221. They are in full compliance with our EEO equal benefit requirements and have a current city business license. Part of the project details, we identified nine potential divisions of work for subcontract opportunity. They're going to be self-performing six of those, of which we then have 17% minority women and emerging small business participation of the subcontracted work. So I'll hold there. We have representatives from the contractor and from BES here in case there are specific questions.
Questions for Jeff? Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify in Council Item 380? All right. I need a motion to approve.
Motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve Council Item 380. We had no testimony, no additional council discussion. Please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Item is approved. Unless there is objection, I'd like to move SIN 381 back to Commissioner Saltzman's office. So moved. Please read the title for Council Calendar Item 382.
Adopt resolution to lower city flag to honor children who die from abuse, neglect, and other violence.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This resolution is essentially identical to the one that was introduced last week. However, we have made a couple changes based on some of the concerns we heard. We've specified that the city flag will be lowered only at city facilities, so the convention center flagpole, which apparently shares a city flag and a state flag on one pole, will not be affected by this. And then also we've added a clause to reevaluate this resolution in 1 year's time. As I said last week, today, or this month is National Child Abuse Prevention Month. I feel that lowering the flag, our city flag at half mast to honor those children who have died due to abuse and neglect or violence in the preceding month, that this is an important tool to raise awareness about these people who often have no other honor but this flag lowering. And I would urge its approval.
Council discussion. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify on Council Item 382? Hearing none, no additional council discussion. I'd just like to say that I'm going to support this resolution, and enthusiastically so. I appreciate the changes that you've made to make it clear what it's limited to. It is in the best spirit that the United Nations, a tradition that the United Nations has adopted long ago, to focus on a regular basis vulnerable victims of crime, poverty, and abuse, and I want to thank you for bringing it forward.
Please, we're going to vote on this today or next week?
Today.
Okay.
Please call the roll.
Well, let me begin by stating what I said last week, which is I have great respect for my colleague Dan Saltzman and for his tireless advocacy on behalf of children, and I think this is a well-intentioned but misguided effort to honor victims of violent deaths or children. I cannot support this, and the amendments, while I think are thoughtful, still results in an ordinance, a resolution, which I think, frankly, will, number one, cause unnecessary confusion to the public. They will have no idea why our flag is at half-mast on random days each month over a 12-month period. Two, it will set a precedent which will, I think, come back to haunt us, in that every other group that has a worthy cause in terms of recognizing victims of violent death will come to council and ask that we give the same honor to the victim of domestic violence, the victim of an unjust war, to the victim of a crime. And by doing so, I don't think we've established any criteria or lines which we can thoughtfully distinguish in the future. The other thing which I said last week, and I want to come back to, because I've heard from a lot of people on this, is that we're talking about the flag. The flag is our most powerful symbol. This resolution will provide that we lower the city flag 10 or 11 times more in a calendar year than we lower the flag to honor all the dead who have fought in all the wars in American history. Just think about that. We are doing something extraordinary here, and I deeply appreciate the motivation of my colleague, because I know that he is passionate on this point. But we are doing something which involves the flag without the care that is required when we're talking about lowering the flag. We have simply not done the hard work that you need to do, and I think this will be seen as offensive to a lot of people who treat the flag as different. I have told Commissioner Saltzman privately that I will support just about any substitute to this, because I know his intention is good. And I think putting the spotlight on children who are victims of violent death is entirely appropriate. The only concern that I've raised is that I think in this casual way, bringing the flag into this debate, I think we are not meeting the goals that he has set out, and I think we're setting a precedent that is going to create great challenges for us. And I frankly don't know how I can look a veteran in the eye and say that we think that a monthly flag lowering is appropriate for one group, but for you once a year. And so respectfully, and I am very respectful on this, and I have shared my thoughts with Dan Saltzman in writing and in private conversations, and I appreciate his tenacity. When he gets set on something, he stays with it, and that's why he's been effective on this body. I am second to no one in my concern about the underlying issue here, but I don't think this is the right vehicle to express our concern, and so again, I respectfully vote no.
Saltzman?
Well, I appreciate Commissioner Fish's concerns. I do want to say that in a last 2 days, just casual viewing of local news, the stories grabbing headlines have to do with sea lions being caught and some shot at Bonneville Dam, Shetland ponies being rescued, Cocker Spaniels being rescued. You turn on the news, anytime something happens involving an animal, it's top of the head, you know, it's the top headline. When a one-month-old gets strangled by her dad, or a two-year-old smothered by her mom's boyfriend, those things escape the news somehow. They usually get a small sidebar blurb in a paper, but there's not the outrage as there is shown by Shetland ponies being abused. This is an effort to increase awareness by lowering our flag to correspond to the number of child deaths in the previous month and have associated ability for people to go to our website to find out why the flag is lowered. It is a long-term project, and it may not succeed in getting the message out, and that's why we will look at it again in a year. But it is my hope, too, that when people stop, and people will stop and wonder, why is the city flag lowered? And they'll start to associate, you know, my God, it's lowered on the 10th day of a month. It must have been a really bad month for kids the month before. And hopefully, maybe it'll never be lowered. You know, maybe we won't have any child abuse and neglect deaths in the next year. That would be the ideal outcome. But this is an idea, I believe, worth trying. It may fall on its face. I reserve the right and respect every member's of this body's right to fall on their face, and we've all done that in one time or another. But I'm willing to go out on a limb here and give this a try with the council's support and see if we can build awareness and do something about child abuse, neglect, and homicidal violence of young people. So I vote aye.
Leonard?
Well, I appreciate Commissioner Saltzman's goals as well, but I have to say that Commissioner Fish's concerns are exceedingly persuasive. Unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to work or discuss this with Commissioner Saltzman, but there are some things I think that could have been done to improve his goal here. Last week, I asked if this would apply to kids under the age of 18 who died as the result of gang violence inflicted between gang members, and it would. In addition to that, I'm not sure how we explain to women who have suffered domestic violence or families who have lost women who have died as the result of domestic violence why we wouldn't do the same kind of thing for them. And I don't think that those are fatal flaws, but I do think with the little work, we could have got to a place where every council member could have supported this. And I know Commissioner Fish worked very hard to get there, and I appreciate his attempts to find a place that we could have gotten to where all of us would have really wanted to sign on to this and support it. So I'm sorry that we couldn't get to that place. No.
Fritz.
This is an interesting and important case because it's illustrating competed and very valid values that each of my colleagues has eloquently articulated. And I want to acknowledge the courage of each person here in speaking about a very difficult issue and the passion that I've heard both last week and this week that people care deeply about values and principles and things that others might say, why are they even spending time talking about this? But we do care to spend time talking about this and recognizing the courage that it took to put this back on the agenda for a second go around. I'm supporting it because I believe it will, in some cases, help draw attention to the city flag. We, in my office, have the flag on our business card, and it's amazing to me how many people, they look at the seal and they know what that is, but they're like, what is this? And I explain it's the city flag. And it's interesting to me that the Trillium students have left, which I think this is an issue that they might have been interested in, but they probably had other things that they had to get done. But if it helps draw attention to the city flag and to why we have a city flag and then why it's lowered at half-mast, then I think it's a good thing. I'm comfortable, even more comfortable than I was last week. I appreciate Commissioner Saltzman putting in the clause about that we will review it next year. And I do think we need to have measurements as to how aware people are of the flag now and how they are in the future and whether indeed this gesture, this symbol, has been successful in helping citizens understand that we do continue to have a problem with child abuse in our city and in our society. And I hope that that is the case. I hope with Commissioner Saltzman that we never have to lower it. But if we do, then I hope that people will take note. And indeed that others will come and perhaps mourn for their losses on the day that the flag is down, because the flag means different things to each of us. And I would encourage other groups who have suffered losses to use that day of the month to perhaps gather in the portico of the City Hall and remember other loved ones who have been lost. So thank you to everybody. Aye.
Adams?
I just want to acknowledge the thoughtful debate today and to echo the comments made by Commissioner Fish and Leonard in terms of I know their passion on the substance of this issue is unmatched on the City Council, but I am going to support this resolution because I do think it's although new and maybe issues might arise that we will need to deal with later, I do think it is an important opportunity for us to focus on an issue or issues in the future that are underappreciated by the community as a whole. Aye. Item 382 is approved. Could you please read the title for Council Item 383?
Authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Metro and North Clackamas Park and Recreation District to purchase certain properties to facilitate a sewer pipe repair.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. This is a quick item that allows us to repair an exposed sewer pipe that crosses Johnson Creek. Approval of this IGA will allow three important public needs to be met. The sewer pipe will be repaired. Property will be acquired that will add parkland. And restoration measures will continue in Johnson Creek. I urge the Council's immediate approval. If there's questions, we have people.
Is there any reason that we should vote against this?
Name's Eli Callison, and no.
Does Council have any questions regarding Council Calendar Item 383? Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify on Item 383? Thank you, gentlemen. This is an emergency. So, Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 383 is approved. Could you please read the title for item 384?
Remove redundant and outdated language, fix organizational and grammatical errors, reconcile conflicting code provisions, increase program efficiency and effectiveness, and improve public comprehension to the Public Improvements Code.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is there anything beyond the title that you would like us to know about? And I know Commissioner Fritz has some questions and issues to raise.
Good morning, Mayor and City Council members. My name is Dawn Hotenroth, and I work with the Bureau of Environmental Services. And with me today is Alex Bejarano from the Office of Transportation. What you have today in front of you is the first of a number of different code packages we hope to bring you over the next year and a half or so. This is kind of the code maintenance piece of it, if you will. It's the cleanup piece. It's getting the fees updated. It's changing he language to he, she language.
I like
that. It's doing things like removing outdated references and code chapters. So this is really just the first kind of non-substantive, no real policy changes here process. We have, you'll see from the handout, a number of other phases coming your way. Environmental Services will be doing a lot of new code work, as will Office of Transportation. We also have a phase in there that is being generated from our city attorney's office, who have asked us to please fix some of the definitional problems in Title 17. For those of you who are not aware, Title 17 is, well, not as thick as the zoning code. It's about half as thick as the zoning code. It is pretty substantial, which is why this process took us along. We did have a process where we did make presentations to our Stormwater Advisory Committee and the Development Review Advisory Committee. In fact, the Development Review Advisory Committee actually had a subcommittee of three brave individuals who actually sat with us and went through the hundreds of pages of code so we could point out the individual changes we were making to make sure there was no policy issues there, which they agreed there wasn't. So,
can I ask you a question? Is this document that you've handed out, this excellent chart, Is this something you printed on your, you actually were able to do in-house on your printer?
Yes. Actually, we do have one color printer in Environmental Services, so that's where that was
what
printed.
What floor are you on?
Don't tell them.
We're on the 10th.
We have a remote connection. I just appreciate when you get something like this in council that's big and colorful and has chart, it does make it a lot easier to follow. So
well, and
you.
We definitely want to put it in context because this is really the first kind of non-controversial piece. Some of the other pieces that you will see will come with bigger policy issues.
Non-controversial, that's what you thought. Commissioner Fritz.
Well, we hope.
So I have some questions.
Yes.
On number 6, repeals 12-125, which is the Mid-County Sewer Financial Assistance Program. We don't do that anymore?
That project has been completely done. Everybody, all the property owners have gone through the process. So since that was completed, we did remove the reference to that.
Okay. I have a couple of minor typo things, which we can fix before next week. I did have a question about number 48, which puts driveway access plans in Title 17. And wondered why that's inside Title 17 rather than with the rest of the Land Division Code.
I'll take that one, Alex.
To be honest, I'll have to get back with you on this.
Yeah, and some of these questions, it'd be fine.
I think it was just to help mimic in both titles. There is an awful lot of land use code about driveway placement.
Right. We're currently in the middle of a discussion about making sure that things are done efficiently, and so I'm wondering whether that might be part of the fix to make sure that we have all of the requirements in one place. Number 50 is of concern to me. It's regarding street vacations. And in comparing the old with the new, what's been removed is reference to the Planning Commission reviewing street vacations. And I wondered, isn't that state law that the Planning Commission has to review street vacations? And besides which, that seems to be a more substantive amendment rather than...
Certainly, I will look into that and get back to you.
I personally will appreciate Planning Commission review of street vacations. And then the final question I had was regarding the proposed fee changes on page 2 of figure 2.
Mm-hmm.
A question on the annual permit renewal fee for advertising benches. I don't know how much the advertisers get for having benches in our right-of-way, but it seemed to me that $20 a year is a very minimal fee for allowing them to use the right-of-way to advertise, and I'd like you to look into whether that could be an additional revenue source for the city.
Certainly. That right currently is an intergovernmental agency with TriMet who administers that program, and PDOT works with them to administer that program. So certainly we can look at the inner workings of that agreement to see how that revenue is affects both PDOT and TriMet.
Do they get more revenue than we do from that?
Well, I would assume so.
We hope so, right?
As a fiscal conservative, I just want to disassociate myself from the tax and spend liberalism expressed by our colleague. She's entitled to her view, but we'd like to keep the fees within reasonable range for our beleaguered taxpayers.
Where are y'all from up there? Where are you from? I hear that kids from Stevenson are the smartest kids in the whole city. Is that true?
Yeah.
I thought so. Other council discussion?
You better hope that's the same school.
No. The pandering politician that I am.
So it sounds like we will meet with Commissioner Fritz's office offline and come back with potentially a revised version of this.
Yes.
That I would assume then would have a first reading and then a subsequent second reading. Yes. 2 weeks from today.
And I would advise you to just make that as a matter of course, to first sit down or offer a sit down with all the council officers, but especially Commissioner Fritz, because she has years of experience and skill in this area.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so we, let's see, that'll be held over for...
testimony.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I just want to get I promise I'll call on you. So we would hold this over for, you want this sent back to my office? Because you're going to refile it?
Yeah.
Okay. So as soon as we hear from Linda and anyone else that wants to testify, Mary, are you going to testify? No. Okay. Linda, please. How are you this afternoon?
Fine.
This morning.
It better be morning.
Ms. Bauer, nice to see you.
Parking meter. Thank you very much. I want to talk to you about one of the provisions in Title 17, and it takes a little explanation in the first part. We have a subdivision and we have condos. And the difference between those, the only difference between those is the property, the house in a land division, the property owners own the house and the land. In a condo, they own the house, but they do not own the land. So, but PDOT treats them totally different. In a land division, PDOT looks at the effects of development in the vicinity of the site on traffic conditions and operations. When they look at development of multiple condos, they feel that they can only look at the placement of the driveway when the project is outside the land use review arena. So we have exactly the same development, exactly the same impacts, and yet the review is totally, totally different. When PDOT looks at a condo development the very of exact same size as a subdivision, PDOT only looks at the placement of the driveway. You can see from the PDOT email that this is because PDOT interprets that the code language 1788.050B limits them to only looking at condos. Today you are reviewing several proposed changes to 17, and I would ask that as part of that review that you look at 1788.050B, which is called Safety and Operations. You are in the budget process right now and looking at core missions for all of the bureaus. Is not PDOT's core mission the safety and operations of the entire transportation system? As you can see from the email from PDOT, PDOT feels limited to only looking at placement of driveways when the project is outside the land use arena. In December, the Regulatory Improvement Committee came up with a list of needed changes, and this item was on that list of needed changes. Please give PDOT the authority to require traffic impact studies that consider adequacy of services even if there is no land use review on a site. The purpose of 1788.050 seems clear. The traffic impacts of dividing or developing land may warrant a traffic impact study. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bauer.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else wishes to testify on this issue? This will be sent back to the mayor's office and will be brought back in a different format. Unless objection, I didn't hear any. Can you please read council calendar item 385?
Create a local improvement district to construct sanitary sewer improvements north of Northwest Skyline Boulevard in the Royal Highlands Phase 2 Local Improvement District.
Second reading vote only. Would you please call the roll on 385?
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
We did look into the concerns that were raised at the hearing last week, and I'm comfortable voting aye.
Adams?
Aye. 385 is approved. Could you please read the title for Emergency Ordinance 386?
Authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Multnomah County not to exceed $924,596 to provide chemical substance abuse treatment services to chronic offenders and for district attorney and parole and probation services for chronic arrestees.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This ordinance is being brought forward to authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Multnomah County to provide treatment services related to the service coordination team. The funds were part of the current fiscal year budget, 2008-09, and one of the budget decisions is in part of the police bureau's budget, totaling about $1.2 million in one-time funds. Specifically, this amount of $924,000 is associated with pass-through to Multnomah County for treatment probation and district attorney services. We have Sergeant Matt Ingen here and Commander Mike Reese and Rachel Filoski from my office if anybody has any questions about this.
Any council discussion?
I'm just glad that Commander Reese is here. I'm frankly getting tired of hearing all the accolades for Commander Krebs, and we know that Commander Reese does a hell of a job downtown, and I think I speak for all of us in saying we'd like to see the love shared a little bit. So
I agree.
Unless there's additional council discussion, is there anyone in the room that wishes to testify on item 386? Seeing no one that has come forward to testify, it's an emergency. Would you please call the roll?
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Well, I'm frankly surprised we're not having a presentation, because this is an approach which I heartily support and appreciate Commissioner Saltzman bringing forward, but which should be really highlighted, particularly in Salem right now, when they're discussing keeping prisons open and cutting alcohol and drug and mental health programs. This program, singularly, is effective in keeping people who are otherwise committing crimes, victimizing women and even children, defenseless people, by getting them into treatment and causing the core reasons for their law breaking ways to be recognized as being motivated by drug and alcohol dependence. And it is this program that has really done a turnaround downtown, particularly Old Town, in reducing the crime rate, in reducing the number of offenses committed to people, and it's being managed under appropriately in Commissioner Fish's words, the great leadership of Commander Mike Reese, and Sergeant Matt Ingen was one of the early folks who spearheaded this program along with Bill Sennett and others, and it is so effective that, and I know Commissioner Saltzman knows this, that we've had other cities from around the country and even Victoria, B.C., come and visit to see what it is that that Dan is doing and the Police Bureau is doing to really take this unique approach to law enforcement, which is to try to break the cycle of substance abuse that interrupts the behavior that causes people to offend. And it's effective, and it works, and it should be the standard operating procedure not only in Portland but in the state and throughout the United States in reducing the number of people we throw into prison. It is a fabulous program. I can't say enough about Dan's leadership on this, and particularly Commander Reese and Sergeant Ingen. It's an outstanding program. I will do whatever I can to support continuing this excellent work. Aye.
Fritz?
I second Commissioner Leonard's support for this program and thank the everybody who's involved in it. I received a briefing last week and was tremendously impressed. I want to emphasize that it is the city supporting Multnomah County providing services. So, again, it's another example of the city and the county working together to prioritize funding for those services which are most effective and having the correct jurisdiction actually implement those. What this does is target assistance and helps people get into treatment faster than they would otherwise be able to get into treatment, and that's cost-effective as well as more compassionate and works out better for crime prevention. I was very impressed with the change in attitude that I heard at Central Precinct last week, which very much mirrors the change in attitudes in psychiatric and drug and alcohol treatment care that I've experienced over 26 years working in that field, that it's very much a personal care for the individual needing help and a sanctuary model rather than a punishment model. So this is a very necessary and very wonderful, and we need to continue to support the county, as I know Mayor Adams is committed to doing, in funding the improvements to Hooper Detox, funding the improvements to the triage center and the dual diagnosis treatment, and all of those things which would seem like they're county or state services, and they help save our officers for attending to other problems. And most importantly, they get people into recovery, and sincerely into recovery. So this is a wonderful program, and I vote aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to acknowledge that the The impetus of this was former Mayor Tom Potter and Commissioner Randy Leonard, who put this approach together, and has been carried forward by Police Commissioner Dan Saltzman, who's doing a great job. I want to thank the entire team at the Portland Police Bureau for your continued good work on this, and has already been well said, this seeks to not just deal with the symptoms, but the actual root problems, and I think it's a fantastic approach. I 386 is approved. Ben, I need a little bit of help here. We want to move, and I just want to